The Chofetz Chaim quotes on the topic of Kavana Betfila. We all know how hard it is to have Kavana when we daven in Shemon Esra, and when we daven Bichlal, make brachas. It's very difficult. It's one of the biggest challenges we have every single day. And the Chofetz Chaim quotes a mashal. The famous Davar Yedua, this mashal, there was once someone selling some fruit in the market, and a ganav came by, knocked over the barrel and started stealing and running away with apples. And the salesperson is just standing there, dumbfounded, frozen, like a deer in the headlights, as they say. Frozen. And some chacham on the side says, "Why are you standing there?" The same way the person who came to steal from you is grabbing as many as he can to run off with them. You also grab as many as you can and run off with them. Salvage as many as you can. And the same thing goes with the tefillah. Yes, it's very difficult and very hard. And we try, but the Yitzhahara gets us. A famous line from Shalom Shvadran. He says, "You know, one time I was walking in Machane Yehuda, just looking around, seeing all the different fruits and vegetables and what they're selling over there, and all of a sudden I felt someone punching me on my chest. I looked down and it was me, punching me. And in my mind, I'm in Machane Yehuda." So, yeah, it's true, the Yitzhahara gets us. And he gets us by Slach Lanu, and he gets us by Rav Anyenu, and he gets us everywhere. But when you finally chap that he's getting you, you should get up, and just like he's swinging punches at you, swing back. Don't just let him keep punching you. Punching back. The Yitzhahara is punching back. You swing back, you punch a little bit also. Maybe you'll get one. Maybe you'll get Lamal Shinim, maybe you'll get Moedim, and maybe you have to try. As Dr. Chofetz Chaim, the same thing's by Lashon Hara. It's so easy for the Yitzhahara to get us all the time. I said this, I said that. And we start to think, we start to feel, it's not really think, because there's no svara in it, but we start to feel, I already messed up, and I already spoke Lashon Hara today so many times already. And I already spoke Lashon Hara this week, and this month, and this year so many times already. And I have this habit when I get together with this friend and with that friend and sitting here and there, speak Lashon Hara so many times. Forget it. Well, what's the point? So the Chofetz Chaim says the same thing. There's no svara in such a thing. There's no svara in saying, "Listen, I'm not going to get it all, so what's the point of getting any?" There's pashut zero svara there. It's all or nothing. There's no svara in all or nothing. It's actually ridiculous for me to think all or nothing. All or nothing beside means pashtus. It means I only want perfect. But Meichatesi, you should have perfect. Meichatesi, any human being should have anything perfect. I'm going to be perfect. It's ridiculous to think I'm going to be perfect. All or nothing assumes I'm going to be perfect. There's mamash no svara there. Now, maybe you'll say, that's only when, you know, I still have a passing grade. I'm still rove, more or less, making it. So then, keep going. You won't get 100, but you'll get a 95, you'll get a 90, 80. But once you're already getting a failing grade, I have a 22 on my test. Might as well not take the test. 22. Come home with a 22, what's my mother going to say? 22. You better skip the test. And then you can tell, listen, I couldn't take the test that day. Maybe you'll say that's a svara. It's also not a svara. There's no svara even by that. Why? Because even if you have a 1%, every shtick avodas Hashem is nitzchius, netzach nitzachim. So even if it's just 1% of netzach nitzachim, we don't know how to mathematically do such an equation. 1% of forever. We don't know how to do that math. But one thing's for sure: it's 1% of forever. It's 1% of everything. Of forever everything. Whatever that means, however you do that. So it's kedai. There's no svara to say, it's only kedai if it's a 90, a 80, but what? even one, even a little bit, it's netzach netzachim. So it's kedai even for that. This pasha no svara at bichlal to say anything other than that. I had the occasion a couple years ago to be in Memphis, and the friend who was showing me around a little bit was telling me the different attractions, and of course one of the attractions he told me about was Rav Nata Greenblatt, Zichet Tzadik Livracha. So he said, "You want me to take you?" "Yeah, for sure, take me. I've never been." And it was actually, it was really eye-opening, because when I got there, so there was two people talking, two elderly people talking, and one of them looked like a standard Rosh Yeshiva, and the other one looked like a guy who was came to speak to Rosh Yeshiva. And for a minute, the one who looked like the guy who came to speak to Rosh Yeshiva stepped away for a second, and the Rosh Yeshiva-looking one said to me, "You're also visiting here?" So I was like, "What do you mean I'm also visiting here?" He said, "Well, I'm also visiting here." So I said to him, "That's Rav Greenblatt?" "So yeah, that's Rav Greenblatt. I came to talk to him." So, okay, to rearrange and recalculate, as they say. And after that fellow left, the Rosh Yeshiva-looking fellow, so we were schmoozing, he asked me what yeshiva I went to. So when I went to yeshiva that the Rosh Yeshiva, there's the anacle from Reb Chaim. So he immediately tells me, "Oh, Reb Chaim Brisker is my parents' Masada Kedushin." He proceeds to tell me different maisim that his mishpacha had there with Reb Chaim, and that all sorts of geshmak zachin. And then he starts to tell me about his life in Memphis and how it started and where it went. And he told me, "I want to tell you about a guy. I forget the guy's name, but we'll call him Stan Eisner. Okay? Is that kind of a name? I'll tell you about Stan Eisner. I come to Memphis and there's barely anyone Shomer Shabbos. But people are interested. People are still have a heart for Yiddishkeit. And I met a friend. Stan becomes my friend, and he helped me a lot with different askanas. And at one point I told him, "You know, Stan, you need to keep Shabbos." And Stan tells me, "Rabbi, I don't keep Shabbos, and I'm not going to keep Shabbos." And I told Stan, "You need to keep Shabbos." And he says to me, "Rabbi, it's not for me, I can't keep Shabbos." Okay, so that was our conversation. And then a few weeks later, again, "Stan, you need to keep Shabbos. You can't, with everything that you do, for you to not keep Shabbos, it doesn't make sense." So he thinks about it. He says, "You know what, Rabbi? I'm willing to keep 1 hour of Shabbos." So he says, "You know what? Good. You keep 1 hour of Shabbos. But that 1 hour, you and I are the same. Anything I won't do, you don't do for 1 hour. Maskin." So Stan keeps Shabbos for 1 hour. And he's mamish. He doesn't do anything you're not allowed to do. He's mamish shomer Shabbos kilchasa. And a week goes by, another week goes by, and Stan is keeping Shabbos for 1 hour. He's shomer Shabbos l'sha achas. And he says, people were very unhappy with me. People were saying to me, "Where do you have permission to give him a 90% discount on Shabbos and tell him he only has to keep 1 hour? How do you have that? What, you were bailus over Shabbos? You have the right to tell me he only has to keep 1 hour?" I didn't tell him he only has to keep 1 hour. I didn't tell him you don't have to keep the rest. But I know he's not going to keep any of it if I tell him he has to keep the whole thing. So I told him, "You keep 1 hour." I didn't tell him you don't have to keep the rest. You do 1 hour. Bekitzer, after a few weeks, Stan came and said, "I'm ready to do another hour." Stan, you keep 2 hours of Shabbos, Gevaldik, 2 weeks, 3 weeks go by, he's keeping 3 hours, 5 hours, after X amount of time, I don't remember how much time it was, Stan is keeping the whole Shabbos. Lo Yehuman, we went from Stan saying, I do not keep Shabbos, and I can't keep Shabbos, and I won't keep Shabbos, and all of a sudden he's keeping all of Shabbos. He said, there's Pashut, the Svara is Pashut. A guy who eats on Yom Kippur. A guy who eats on Yom Kippur. He wakes up in the morning, has breakfast. So therefore I tell him, you might as well have lunch too. Just like you weren't allowed to eat breakfast, you're still not allowed to eat lunch. You know, you're not allowed to have dinner. Nothing changed. You're still mitzvah to keep Shabbos, to keep Yom Kippur, to keep this. Nothing changed. So the fact that you were over one time, or even 10 times, or even 1,000 times, doesn't change your status. You're still mitzvah. So the fact that you're going to not keep most of the hours, but that 1 hour, you, and that mamish, it worked for him. Because lemaisa, that's the mitzvah, is that being over doesn't change the fact that you're still mitzvah. And like we said before, every small, teeny piece of ruchnius is netzach nitzachim. But this is all b'noigeya to kiyum ha-mitzvahs, shmiras ha-mitzvahs. However, when it comes to emuna, this famous hasbir from Reb Chaim, when it comes to emuna, it's all or nothing. Famous question. Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel tells them, Im Hashem hu Elokim lechu acharav. V'im Habal lechu acharav. Now what's the pshat? We understand that he's saying, if you believe in Hashem, so follow Hashem. What's the pshat that he tells them? If you believe in the Baal, lechu acharav. He's giving them, like we said before, you're giving permission, lechu acharav, you're promoting, if that's what you think, lechu acharav. How could he, where does he have the right to tell them lechu acharav? Also, ask Reb Chaim, as if there's like klalim and halachas in the Yiddishkeit, in the religion called Baal, that the Baal doesn't let you believe in anyone else, maybe Baal lets you believe in Hashem too. Why do you have to keep it limited to ima Baal? Lechu achrav, only Baal. Maybe Baal lets you share. Why is he telling them lechu achrav? So, Zokter B'chayim, because in Emuna, we know, we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad doesn't just mean Hashem is one. It means he's the only one. The one and only Hashem. The only one. And the second you believe in anything else, the second you make room for anything else, he's no longer the only one. You can't be the only one along with someone else. You're not the only one anymore. Emuna means that there's nothing else. It's important to remember that by Mamed Har Sinai, Shavuos, we focus tremendously, primarily on Matan Torah. And of course, that's our focus. But we have to remember that Mamed Har Sinai was also a Gilui Shechina. And the Torah says in Parshas Dvarim, the Torah says that Atah Horeisa Ladas Ki Hashem Hu Elokim Ein Oid Milvadoi. Says Rashi, by Mamed Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed them, whatever it means, opened the Shemayim, he showed them that there's nothing else but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ein Oid Milvadoi. The minute you let anything else creep in there, it's no longer Einod Milvadoi. So when it comes to Emuna, it's all or nothing. Now, in parentheses, we'll say that if you're not there yet, don't throw in the towel because that's all or nothing. No, we're mechuyev to keep pushing, keep trying that also. But we have to understand that b'yisoid, it's we have to come to a point where we are fully there. The Chovas Levavos says in the beginning, in the introduction to Shaar Bitachon, if you're not boiteach b'Hashem, you're automatically being boiteach on something else. It's memela, because boiteach b'Hashem means it's only Hashem, and if it's not only Hashem, then there's other things. So in addition to our focus on Matan Torah and Nasa V'Nishma and our Rischa D'Raisa and our excitement for Limud and for Kabbalah Satoira, there's also this idea of Ein Oid Milvadoi. And just to be Messiah, once we think about the Ein Oid Milvadoi, once we really take it in and chap epis from the meaning, from what it's saying, then memela Talmud Torah comes. Because if Ein Oid Milvadoi, if there's nothing else but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's no one else, and there's no other Mitzius, and there's no other manhig, there's no other mahalach in Olam Hazeh, in Olam Hazeh, anywhere, then Memela, okay, he's the boss. What does the boss want? What does the boss say? And there's nothing else to think about. There's nothing else to pay attention to. There's nothing else to focus on. There's nothing else to put my energies into. What does the boss say? The boss says Tariag Mitzvahs, and the boss says Shabbos and Brachas and Zvachim and Achas and Sanhedrin and everything else. Once we come to Ein Oid Milvadoi, the Torah is automatic. No such thing as Ein Oid Milvadoi, but I'm also busy with other things. Of course we have to take care of many responsibilities, but in our heart, in our pursuits, if Ein Oid Milvadoi, that brings us automatically to wanting what the boss has to say, what the Ein Oid Milvadoi has to say, which is the Torah. Yehi Ratzon that we will be koine this epis of Madrega in Ein Oid Milvadoi, epis of Madrega in pursuing to fully make the Ribbono Shel Olam a centerpiece of our lives, in our emunah, in our bitachon, in our amelus batoira, to bring us to a madrega of, on the one hand, not giving up, fighting the Yitzhahara, no matter how many times he gets us, swing back, and at the same time, to fill our hearts with the idea of Ein Oid Milvadoi as much as each of us can. Yeah.